Hello, Bethlehem Lutheran Church, and anyone else who might be tuning in to worship today. My name is Jacob Qualley, and I am the Wilderness and Operations Director at Camp. I want to say thank you to Pastor Scott for the invitation to still speak at worship today, virtually. I was hoping to be in person with y'all, but I'm just glad to be here with you in any way I can. So thank you, Pastor Scott, for the invitation. I bring the greetings from Margie, our executive director, and the rest of our year-round staff at camp. Know that we are all thinking of you right now and praying for you. And you're in our prayers, and we're so very thankful for you right now. We all know our situation right now, and if you're like me, you're probably a little bit tired of talking about it. I don't need to tell you or remind you how you feel right now. You are already there. However, I do want to encourage us to let our changed perspective today allow us to read Scripture in a new way, especially familiar texts like John 10 and Psalm 23. Let's be a little bit adventurous today and start with that psalm. We often isolate psalms, not thinking about them in the context of other psalms, or seeing how they interact to form a more complete and diverse story. So let's look back at Psalm 22 for just a brief moment. Goes like this. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, and I find no rest. I could go on, but that pretty much sums Psalm 22 up. If you have time or would like to take a moment to look up and read the rest, I definitely would encourage you to do so. It's a vivid and rich tapestry of metaphors, making plain and clear deep feelings of anguish and fear. Maybe some of us relate to those feelings right now, at least at times. Well, here they are, spoken plainly and clearly, directly to God, no less. Now for contrast, I'll read the start of Psalm 23, the psalm for this Sunday. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Words of comfort that a lot of us are familiar with. The change in tone begins to happen as Psalm 22 progresses, but that shift is still amazing. Amazing in the truest sense of that word. What sense can we make of these opposite emotions expressed so close to one another? Maybe this is a chance to realize that we often try to separate opposing emotions like sadness and joy, anger and compassion, even life and death. Are these things really so separate from one another? Remember that as Jesus nears his death on the cross, he quotes that opening line from Psalm 22. This is Jesus, who knows the truth and power of the resurrection, who knows that death is always overcome by life, who knows that light always shines in the darkness. Yet he fully laments. He feels abandoned. Does this realization fill you with as much hope as it does for me? Death and resurrection are inherently tied. Bringing life out of death is a pattern that repeats itself in so many ways throughout the world. This is the promise found in Christ, which is always there for everyone to live into. And with that pattern in mind, let's finally take a look at today's gospel reading. At the very end of this passage, we get this line. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Verse 10. Though this is the last line of the text for today, it functions as the crux off of which the rest of the text hangs. As always, it's important to realize the context within which Jesus is speaking here. He is talking with Pharisees, the established religious leaders of Judaism at the time. People of the Jewish tradition lived within the Roman Empire at this point in history, an entity that claimed to care for its inhabitants, but in fact preyed on vulnerable parts of the population for tax revenue, labor, and other things that form the backbone of any society. Jews were an especially vulnerable population in this world. and the values of their faith often conflicted with the values of the political establishment. To bring further clarity to this point, I'll read a passage from Lindsay S. Jodry, who is the Associate Director of Digital Learning at Princeton Theological Seminary. I found this text from a resource called Working Preacher that I very much enjoy. It is a resource prepared by Luther Seminary Weekly that posts writings and deep thoughts about the context of Scripture for that week's liturgy. It's pretty cool this week to see commentary for someone who isn't entitled a theologian or pastor. I think it's pretty cool to see wisdom coming from someone like a director of digital learning. But anyway, this is what Lindsay has to say today in this regard. She says, "The Jesus claim to be the ultimate good shepherd who brings abundant life is further supported by his actions of healing and providing wine and bread. The presentation of Jesus offers a critique to the Roman Empire, which claimed, as reported in the writings of Philo, Josephus, Tacitus, and others, to bring wholeness and well-being to society, when its structures actually brought sickness and poverty to most of its subjects." Now, my intent in sharing this is not to politicize the gospel, rather to open our understanding that the context Jesus speaks into reflects our own time and place in some profound ways. Whether from authorities, friends, parents, family, co-workers, or other people in our lives, we know what it feels like to be promised care and support, only to be let down. We also know the deep emptiness we feel when we let others down. We can become so used to this dynamic in our lives that we almost expect to be let down. Not from everyone, of course. People in our lives that we can count on and trust are treasures that we can and should rest in. However, Jesus' promise transcends our expectation of only being able to trust and find solace in a certain few. Jesus' vision for humanity is one of complete love and grace, where all are safe and cared for all eternity. When sheep come through the gate, this is the world we are called to live into through the power of Christ. Our current moment is uprooting our assumptions about ourselves and the world. Let's lean into that and let our changed perspective lead us into a more profound experience of love and grace. People everywhere are hurting right now in deep and profound ways. We ourselves are hurting just the same. If you are, that is okay. It is holy to hurt and to struggle. I know that I am. It's also holy to recognize that hurt in others and to welcome them into the fold regardless of difference, where abundant life awaits. We hear the Christ story so often that its subversive nature is often lost on us. Think about the metaphor Jesus leaves us as recorded in John. It's not one of conquest and might, but of a simple shepherd caring for the flock. Again, Lindsay S. Jodry has wonderful wisdom to share. She says, "While John draws upon imperial imagery to describe Jesus' role, the power dynamics at play are reversed. Rather than a military warrior assuming power through violence, Jesus absorbs the violence of the empire. The claim to be the good shepherd mirrors one of the key expectations for a noble death fitting of a hero in Greek literature, that it was done willingly and for the benefit of others." As he explains just after this passage, Jesus' life and death are for the benefit of the sheep who follow him, verses 10 through 11, and he lays his life down of his own accord, verse 18. I invite you to take a second to think about that paradigm shift. Jesus' answer for violence and hatred is not conquest, but to absorb the nastiness that comes with his way and to respond with love and care. Personally, that perspective fills me with both joy and uneasiness. Joy, because there is rest and peace to be found in strife. Uneasiness, because I know we are called to follow in the steps of Christ. Do I really have it in me to respond in the same way? I would offer that simultaneously being challenged and reasserted is the whole crux of Christianity. Our beliefs may often not change the facts of the world. Faith will not stop the spread of a global pandemic. However, we know that the love of Christ does not end when the journey is tough. Quite the contrary. We are left with the wisdom of Christ, which invites us to love and care for others and ourselves in the hardest of times. We will fall short of this call over and over, but in community we can keep coming back to the center, back to the flock. Jesus always calls us back to the flock. There is always room. Our lives and perspectives at camp right now are just the same as for many of you, full of uncertainty. I'm out on the deck of the place where I live at camp. You may be able to hear the wind and the waves, and I wanted to bring you at least some of the sounds of camp, and hopefully you can see a little bit of the lake as well from where I am. But I wanted to give you a brief update about camp and where we are right now as we navigate this global pandemic. We have made the difficult decision to postpone our camping programs for June, and are currently hoping and to be able to open back up in July and offer camp programs for July and August. We released a statement about that on our website, flbc.net, so I won't go into too many details, but if you have more questions, I would definitely encourage you to consult that source and to keep your ears and eyes open as we continue to let people know about where we are. Of course, in this uncertainty, we appreciate any help that you can give, and there are a few ways that you can do that. First, financial support is deeply appreciated, especially in these times, and a great way to think about doing that is to go to, again, our website, flbc.net, and you will be able to find a place to donate to camp there if you are able and willing to do so. We are definitely looking ahead to being able to welcome people back to camp. So on our website as well, you can find information about retreats, especially starting up in the fall. It would be awesome to start getting to plan and look ahead to those retreats. And if you're looking to make some fall plans, it'd be a great way to support camp, to think about coming to some of these events, and also to put something on your own schedule that you might be able to look forward to. As I said, keep your ears and eyes open for updates from camp. We will continue to let people know as we make decisions and have news to share. But mostly, we are thankful for your prayers as well at this time. We are working hard to try to be able to care for this wonderful, wonderful resource that we are able to provide for folks in a beautiful setting. And your prayers are greatly appreciated as we go about that work in these uncertain times. Thank you so much for your continued support. We are working hard to be able to welcome you back as soon as we can, and really can't wait for that time we can safely be in community again on the lakeshore. Our deep prayers are with you all right now. We pray for moments of deep joy and connection, and for peace and wisdom in times of pain and uncertainty. If you are hurting, Christ is with you. If you are joyful, Christ is with you. And if you don't know how to feel at any particular moment, Christ is with you. It is a beautiful and holy duty we have to be that light of Christ in the world. I'd love to close with the prayer of Saint Francis, which I think is a beautiful summation of our call in the world. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me show charity. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is error, truth. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not much so seek as to be consoled, to consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying to ourselves that we are born to eternal life. Amen.